Welcome to Field Days, a weekly audio diary following the day-to-day life at Montana Prime Meats. I'm Sarah Brown. This week, rancher Lamont Herman restores a vintage grain grinder. It's been a few years since Lamont changed pretty much everything about his operation. In the not-so-distant past, and for years before that, he shipped his calves to out-of-state feedlots each fall, like most other cow-calf producers in the region. Today, he feeds his calves over the winter and brings them to slaughter at a local packing plant when they're ready. It's given him greater control over his animals and access to the growing direct-to-consumer market through his Montana Prime Meats shopfront in Billings. It also requires more labor and more capital investment for a potentially longer, less efficient process. Standing with Lamont in front of the 50-year-old feed grinder he's restoring, it occurs to me he's basically taken on what other ranchers gladly outsource, feeding, in pursuit of a dream, selling meat locally.
So what you're doing here with this thing is a little bit old school, but what's not
very
old school is bringing it all the way to market the way you are. So
yeah, I brought out old school to meet with the new way of what I'm doing, I guess, yeah. This is a 1977 model, and I'm a 73 model, so I hope
73 too.
I hope we have a lot of years left in us, right?
That's so right, yeah. Is this what we look like?
Yeah.
Few windows missing.
Like part of us laying on the floor, and mud on the, yeah.
This relic is a key piece of the puzzle that is feeding livestock. Back in the day, ranchers calved in mild April and fed grain over the winter, shipping in the spring to allow for summer farming.
Every ranch in the county probably had one of these.
Beginning in the 1960s and 70s, large commercial feedlots emerged in the Great Plains. Ranchers bumped up their calving to the frigid early months of the year to ship weaned calves, known as feeder cattle, to large specialized feedlots in the fall. Ranch-based feeding fell out of fashion along with local meat processing and consumer access to local beef. But Lamont's bringing it all back.
We'll grind our corn and barley out of the two big tanks that we put up when you were here last time.
Yep.
One has barley, one has corn. It'll go in this chute here, and then there's hammers inside are just basically spinning knives, and they'll spin and hit that grain, hit the product, and they'll break it up, shatter the corn. And
from there, Lamont fills his feeders, and that's a whole other thing. As the wet snow falls sideways across the wind-swept field, and I try not to think about driving back to Billings in the gathering gloom, Lamont explains the merits of self-feeders, automated troughs that continuously supply dry feed to livestock.
Them animals are able to get access to feed 24/7. There's no stress wondering when the feed truck's going to show up.
Lamont never was going to confine his animals in a feedlot, but he doesn't want to be stuck feeding every day either.
Standing in a feedlot where the dust is blowing and they're standing there doing nothing. They're forced to do nothing. It's not their natural. You never see a cow, any animal, in the hills, in grass. You see them eating or drinking. They're not standing there.
At first, he worried the animals would overeat and bloat, which could kill them, but that's not what happened.
We had more trouble limit feeding them than we ever did just giving them everything they wanted.
Wow.
Because a full animal is a content animal, and a full animal usually don't sit and eat and gorge himself. Once you get them full to their where they're content, they'll go and lay down, or they'll go and drink and lay down, or whatever, or graze and lay down.
Next week, Lamont calls in the experts when a tractor breaks down.
Field Days is produced by Sarah Brown and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio, theme music by John Cosell. More information on Field Days is available at ypradio.org.